Hi, Bobby Hurley. Sit down. I got to see things here. No offense, coach, but sit down.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
All right, hour number three. It's Extra 1360. We're with you to the top of the hour. Jim and John are going to have you for 3 hours this afternoon. John Schaefer and Jim Russell. Rich Ornberger has a football game tonight at 8:30 that you can listen to here on Extra 1360. San Diego State, and what I think is the definition of a sandwich game, right in the middle of Nevada and Boise State next Friday at 9 a.m. in Carson, California at Dignity Health Sports Park. I do believe this fits the classic definition of a sandwich game on the road, one you might be overlooking just a little bit. You're feeling good about what you just accomplished, taking down Carson Strong in Nevada, getting set for upcoming this weekend, next weekend, I should say, against Boise State, in and around the holidays. I do agree with something Rich said during the week. The way San Diego State plays football, it's sort of hard to have a letdown because you're driven by defense and special teams. If you were winging it all over the yard, if you were throwing it 35, 40 times a game, expected to put up 350 passing yards, sometimes those are the games, those are the game plans, the style of team that lends itself to finding it in a little bit of a letdown type situation. Not so much this one, because if you're driven and motivated by defense and rushing, that's an attitude. And that attitude travels, and it's going to travel tonight. That said, 11 points against the Vegas side, which has won a couple of straight times, UNLV at home. I'm curious to get the scouting report, what it looks like inside of that building. Because they play at the Raiders building, you know, Alliance Stadium. Is that right? Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
I want to go there. I want to hear that too.
I'm looking forward to the scouting report because I will tell you aesthetically just on television. Mm-hmm. I know you've been to SoFi. I've not been to SoFi. I'm not planning on going to SoFi. But if I were going to go to one of these newer ones, this one looks more appealing to me.
I mean, SoFi, it's very well done and it's beautiful. I mean, that is for sure. It's a great place to go watch a Rams game. But no, I would love to go to Allegiant too. You want to go for the halftime show? They do it big.
Yeah.
They always go. Well, and the Rams do it big too.
Yeah. So. Plus, you know, when you dump on out of there, you don't have to go dump into the parking lot where you have to sit there for 2 hours trying to get out.
The confusing parking lot.
Everybody has the same exact review about going to SoFi that you've had. It's like the parking, they just have not figured out the parking.
It's complete chaos. Like, there's just no one knows to where to direct people, and you might be in lot like A, B, or Z, and you just kind of drive aimlessly. It's just bizarre.
People have the same two reviews, that the food situation's a little wonky, and that the parking needs to figure that out.
Okay.
For SoFi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you eaten there? I was told there's great options.
There's great options. And if you
take you a quarter and a half to get what you want.
Yeah. There's the place when I go to the main concourse. There's so many places that I don't usually see long lines there. There's a ton. One thing that jumps out, there's a ton of vegan options.
Oh.
Ton. So like John Schaefer would love it there.
I love mm-hmm. that. Maybe a Beyond a Burger, an there's Impossible a,
oh,
Burger.
Ton of that stuff. Yeah.
Those are really tasty. Very good. Very, very good. All right, we're in a holding pattern on Ian Fitzsimmons. For some reason, the head football coaches at West Virginia and Texas are talking a lot.
I think they're talking food.
Go figure. I mean, there are a couple of 4-6 teams here in Morgantown, West Virginia, a game that zero people are going to watch in this country, and they're chewing Ian Fitzsimmons' ear off. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network. This is one of those tricky-type situations here for the Pac-12, and that the Pac-12 can't come out and say, yeah, we're really rooting for Oregon this week, but the Pac-12 is really rooting for Oregon this week because Oregon is on the road at Utah. Oregon, which is currently number 4 in the college football playoff standings, 3 or 4 in the three in the college football playoff standings, are underdogs this week at Utah. Now, none of you care about this if you care about San Diego State football, because a Utah win is good for San Diego State. That would be that would look like an even more impressive win from earlier this season, even though it was a completely different Utah team with a different quarterback who immediately transferred out of the program when he got benched at halftime. So that would be a really, really nice result for the Aztecs this weekend. If Utah at home, a 3-point favorite against the number 3 team in the country, could pick off Oregon. We'll talk about that with Yogi Roth coming up at the bottom of the hour. And you also have 3 jobs open in the Pac-12, 2 of them a little bit more high profile than the third. USC, UW, both programs that can claim national championships, one more than the other. and Washington State, which is Washington State. It's still in the Pac-12. There's a lot of money there. Up there on the Palouse, it's got its own funky element. You can win there, but there's a limit to your winning at Washington State. There's no limit at USC, and there's not much limit at Washington if you get the right person into that situation. That's a program that won a couple of national championships under Don James. Now, Fitzy was on last week, and we were talking a little bit. What's our drop-dead point on Fitzy, by the way? Because we can't bump Yogi, can we, for Fitzy? Probably not. Or can we? What do we do if both are available at 2:30?
Draws. It's going to happen that way. There's no doubt in my
mind.
Flip
a coin.
Should we vote on it right now? If Fitzy and Yogi are available at 2:30, what should we do? I'm going to go Fitzy, and I love Yogi, but...
Okay.
Then again, Yogi might have more impactful games to talk about than Fitzy.
Who's easier to move?
No one.
Well, we've moved Yogi from yesterday to today.
No one's easy to move.
True.
Well, Marty, let's talk about your life for a second.
Yeah, what helps you out?
Because you're the person who's on the front line of this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 4 more minutes for Fitzy, and I want to make the toughest... Tough. Then
you're going to say, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks because we're not even
going to be here next week.
That's right. Short week, right?
Yeah.
Next week.
2021's over.
Man, it's
right at 3 o'clock today.
So much going on. So much.
Right? It always feels that way. You're just in holiday
mode. For you, it is.
For all of us.
My starts at 6:01 today.
Ah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a tough call. Somebody's going to have to make that call.
How about I surprise you? And he'll just say, hey, our next guest is here.
My first question will be about Oregon and Utah, and we'll just see how the person answers.
Okay,
mystery guest, Oregon, Utah, what do you got? One person's going to tell us about Oregon. The other one's going to tell us about Kyle Whittingham.
There you go.
I like
that. One person used to work in Salt Lake, so they knew that program really well.
Okay.
Yeah. But where were we going? Open college football jobs. Michigan State, not an open college football job, as their coach signs a $100 million contract. However... One of the most irresistible figures in all of college football, his name is in the news. That would be Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yes.
Lane Kiffin has been linked to the Miami job.
Yes.
I think it's the only job that he would leave Ole Miss for. Now.
Is that what he said?
He didn't say that. That's just someone had written that. But what if, and Lane Kiffin has, Lane Kiffin follows one guy on Twitter, one person on Twitter, right? And that would be Arch Manning, because he desperately wants to recruit Arch Manning to Ole Miss. If he landed him, there's no way you leave then from, you can't leave from Miami if you land Arch Manning.
What if you take Arch Manning with you to Miami? But that wouldn't make a lot of sense because Ole Miss is Archie and Eli.
Right, exactly.
So there's lineage there. Guy's not going to Coral Gables.
Can't do that.
Not a Coral Gables guy. I've never seen Arch Manning in my life, but I'm guessing he's not a Coral Gables type of fella. Lane Kiffin was so good. And now this makes a little bit of sense. Lane Kiffin was so good on College Game Day 2 weeks ago. I don't know how many people saw it. He gets up there, and he does the pick segment. You know he did the pick segment? Like, he wasn't like he was just a guest. He actually was the celebrity guest picker.
Remarkable.
It was remarkable. And he gets up there, and Mississippi State was playing. Who was Mississippi State playing? Doesn't matter. But Mississippi State was playing somebody. Okay, let's get everybody's pick. Who's going to pick Mississippi State? And it was another SEC school. Let's say it was Arkansas. I don't know that it was, and it doesn't matter to the story. So from left to right, it's Desmond Howard first. And Desmond goes, well, if you think I showed up in Oxford and I'm going to pick Mississippi State, I can't pick Mississippi State in this environment. So I'm going to go with Arkansas, right? Or whoever it was. And then Lane goes, oh, you can't pick Mississippi State in this environment? Mike Leach is the greatest offensive coach in college football today. Mississippi State is an excellent football program, and I'm picking him to win the game today. Just like that. And he gets booed by his own crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Herb Street figures this out and goes, who are you playing in 2 weeks? Mississippi State. And Lane Kiffin goes, analytics. Just like that. It was one of the great lines. It's just so subtle. He just goes, yeah, that analytics. Like, that's me trying to butter up Mike Leach. Point is, he's very smooth in front of a camera. He's very witty. He's very clever. He's very engaging. Some would say he's very sneaky. He's very slippery. All of those things would be true as well. But what would work better at Miami than those characteristics? Now, he was in South Florida for a little while, inviting everybody to come to the FAU when he was the head coach at Florida Atlantic University. So it says here, Andy Slater, who's a college football reporter, writes, Slater scoop, Lane Kiffin would leave Ole Miss for the University of Miami if the Hurricanes' head coaching job were to open. Multiple sources close to Kiffin tell me. Who knows? Who knows what's true and what's not? It also is raise season, where every college coach is looking for a raise. We joked about this with Kirk Morrison earlier this week with Brady Hoke. Is it going to surprise anybody if we hear Brady Hoke's name mentioned for some of these coaching vacancies? Maybe not the ones that currently exist like USC and Washington, but some of the trickle-up opportunities. Are it's going to shock anybody if we hear Brady Hoke? Not that there might not be sincere interest, but maybe Brady's just got a really good agent. So I would hope he has a really good agent. Mm-hmm. This might be an opportunity to get a lot of coaches, an awful lot more money. In fact, if their names pop up for certain head coaching jobs. But that might work. That might work there with Lane Kiffin, given what's going on in South Florida over the last couple of years with him. If you can turn FAU into a little bit of a success story, and they're willing to invest more money into Miami, then that might work there as well. The other name that's being linked is the name that we were going to talk about with Fitzy or with Yogi Roth, I don't know which one, is Mario Cristobal, who's the head coach at Oregon. That guy is as Miami as it gets, and he is geographically about as far away as you can get from Miami. So might you see a Mario Cristobal linked to that job in South Florida? Wouldn't shock me, wouldn't shock any of you as well. So there you go. That's your college football. That's the weekend. Michigan State, Iowa, Ohio State this weekend. Very good game, compelling game on a national level. A lot of impactful games, including tonight, Houston playing. I still think Houston, you probably want them to lose one more time if you're a San Diego State fan, and then pick off Cincinnati in the AAC championship game, just for good measure, just so the committee doesn't give so much credibility to a win against Cincinnati that Houston somehow jumps over San Diego State. So you're probably pulling for that a little later on tonight. And Utah this weekend, that's your scorecard if you're a San Diego State fan. This would have been a fun game to go to, though. Fun game, 8:30 p.m. Like I said, hopefully San Diego State puts the game in the fridge and off you go onto the strip or off in the old town, off in the whatever part of Vegas it is that you like going to, off to the Bunny Ranch on a Friday night.
Bunny Ranch.
That would have been a lot of fun.
Nice late night dinner at some fancy restaurant. Anybody? No?
Could do that too. Gordon, you could do that all night. You could do that with all your winnings.
Yes.
Would you bet San Diego State minus 11? That's
minus
a tough
11.
One for me. Tough one, short week on the road, 8:30, not exactly a start time that you're used to. I'd have a tough time with that one. But then again, I was off on the Falcons last night too, wasn't I?
Just a little.
Yeah. What's everybody got lined up this weekend?
Whole bunch of nothing, Darren. Getting ready to go home next week.
Was that it?
Or are you really? Yeah. You going to fly or are you going to drive?
Driving, because flying would have been an arm and a leg.
Okay, I feel like this is like the weekend to like get things done. Like next week just seems chaotic, you know, busy sports week, NFL games on Thursday. Today I'm driving over. I heard my first Christmas song on the radio.
Oh no!
Like oh no!
Yeah, Sarah wants to put up the Christmas tree. I'm like, wait until after Thanksgiving.
No,
please.
We're already there. I think yeah, we're already there. It's going quick.
Are you a Christmas tree person, Darren?
Well, I'm gonna have to be this year.
Why?
Because we're hosting.
Oh, really?
In exchange for purchasing a house, we invited parents over to our place.
Going to get the big one? Going to get a big Christmas tree?
Not going to get a real one.
No, don't get a real one.
No, the cats and real trees don't mix.
Yeah, we got a fake one that you just fold up, right? And you put it under your bed, and you take it out, unfold it. Looks like a real Christmas tree.
That's great. It's Where perfect. Do you store it? Under non-season.
Our, oh, non-season? In the closet, top shelf.
Top shelf closet. Yeah. I'm told also there's kind of an expectation in our new neighborhood that we are expected to decorate.
Oh, Christmas yeah. lights.
And a little bit of a, I don't want to say a competition thing, but you know, there's a little bit of a neighborhood spirit to it that people and I be really, really get into the holiday mood. So lots of lights, lots of decoration. We might have to request a little bit of help on that front.
That should be fun.
I'm not much
of
a decorator.
Bill.
I know. Well, listen, in for... Yeah, you know, in for a penny, you're in for a pound at this point.
Pretty
Jim.
Much, yeah.
You know what it's like. So, you know, we're probably going to do what we have to do. Plus, since we're hosting, we're going to have to do a bunch of decorating as well. So that's going to be a little bit different this year. Normally, people can't see that sort of stuff, but now we want to make sure that the neighborhood has that feel. And that's this weekend, right? People or next weekend, people start putting up all their decorations. I already see some of you overachievers putting your decorations on your houses.
Oh,
it's crazy that people already have
the stuff up. I went to the gym last night, and I saw a bunch of houses that were already fully decked out and Christmas lights.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Lights, blinking lights, white light, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe this year we get a little bit of a pass just because it's our first one and we got into the house in November, so we're not 100% up to speed. But moving forward, it definitely feels like it'll be quite the thing. All right. Don't know what our update is. Marty seems to be hyperventilating about her phone right now.
The update is, I'll let you know when that person's on the phone, who you're talking to, Darren.
Perfect.
We're talking college football next with somebody.
Mystery guest.
With a mystery guest. So prepare your first question accordingly.
Well, the first question is going to be Oregon and Utah.
That's it.
That's a neutral question for either Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network.
All right.
Or for Ian Fitzsimmons.
Okay.
Given that he knows Kyle Whittingham. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that Ian has only mentioned that
100 times.
50 times that he was there with Kyle Whittingham when Whittingham first arrived in Salt Lake City. Don't know if you guys have ever picked up or heard that story before, but Fitzy's got a little bit of history. So, yeah, we'll see. I think he also will have an opinion. He was on the Aztecs last week.
That's right.
Did they cover?
They won by 2 points.
They did not. So they were just a good team last week.
Yeah.
Not a great team.
Exactly, because great teams, Darren.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Exactly.
And they were favored by 3, which was one of Fitzy's better bets of the week.
He said he loved the Aztecs.
Yeah. 2 points. Well, we'll find out how he feels tonight. Like I said, 11 is, that's a lot of points. But the game also could be 13-0.
True.
16-3. It's going to be a quick game. Lots of rushing yards.
12-0, all field goals by Matt
Araiza. What do you mean by a quick game? Under 4 hours?
Lots of running yards.
Okay.
Running clock.
Let's go. That's a good thing.
Let's go.
Yeah. A lot of very safe passes. All right. Mystery college football guest when we return. Darren Smith. All right. Coming up, Fusion here in a little bit. John and Jim, emergency reach around show at the top of the hour. They'll have you for 3. Schaefer will go take a nap. He'll be back at 6:30 for the Aztec pregame show. He doesn't do the pregame show. 6:30 is the Aztec pregame show. And then 8:30's kickoff in the desert tonight. And that's an interesting venue. Texter on the text line. Notre Dame, BYU at Allegiant next year, October 8th. Yeah, sounds good. There's going to be, I'll take BYU in that one.
That is actually a great, I don't know what the line is, but whatever it is, they're going to cover.
Yeah, I would say
so. It's a great bet by you.
I would say so. Yeah, I like that one as well. By the way, I heard Ornberger call into the show yesterday. I think he was on the plane. He sounded so crystal clear like he was in studio. Now, were my ears tricking me? He sounded so good when he was on the air with Schaefer a little late in the show, like 5:45 or so. I was still driving around after getting gasoline, looking for booster shots. So he sounded great. I was like, wow, what sort of technology is he using? This is wonderful. Yogi Roth will join us here momentarily. It'll be very quick. Yogi has said he's in a coach's meeting like Fitzy. Apparently, coaches' meetings are exactly when Marty books college football
guests.
Apparently,
the coaches have a lot to say this weekend.
They got a lot to say. I'm not sure exactly what game Yogi's doing. There are 3 games on the Pac-12 Network. There's one tonight, Arizona-Washington State. Wazoo, which doesn't even have a coach, is favored by 15 at home in Pullman over the Wildcats. 6 p.m. Pac-12 Network. Tomorrow, Washington-Colorado. Also an interesting weekend just in terms of rivalries. The big game, Cal and Stanford, the battle for the axe, is tomorrow afternoon, 4 p.m. on the Pac-12 Network. Been a little bit of a bumpy couple of weeks now for Cal. The city of Berkeley really puts Cal athletes and coaches through the ringer. You know, there are a lot of places that are strict. People tend to say that California is a really, really strict place with COVID protocols, et cetera. But the city of Berkeley takes that, their health department takes that to a totally different level. They've really turned the screws on the Cal Bears. That said, they're still going to play the game in Palo Alto. So Cal and Stanford tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Washington and Colorado, not as much appeal to that. Been another mostly anonymous year for the conference. Good news is at least Oregon is still playing well. And underdogs, number three, against Utah coming up tomorrow. That's the one I think worth paying attention to. That's on ABC. Your televised games for the weekend in the NFL, Marty, what do we get here? Packers and Vikings, 10 a.m. on Fox.
I like that game.
Bengals and Raiders, 1 o'clock on CBS. Mm. Cowboys and Chiefs, 125 on Fox. That's a show-me kind of game.
That's what...
For the team from the show-me state.
Clark called it the litmus test for the Chiefs. We'll find out what they really are. Really back, that offense, if Mahomes is really back, the reigning offensive player of the week is really back. So we'll see.
We'll see. Five touchdowns, zero interception performance against the Raiders on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You know, impressive. Anytime you can do that, it's impressive. You know, you could be playing Torrey Pines High School. That would be impressive. But the Raiders find themselves in a little bit of a funk. We'll see if that translates against the Cowboys. But as we said, this weekend, college football in the Pac-12, Utah hosting Oregon. I feel like that's the one on national television that most eyeballs will gravitate towards at 4:30 p.m. ABC. But man, if you love college football rivalries, this is your weekend in the Pac-12. The big game, 4 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network, UCLA and USC. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock on Fox. Yogi Roth is a Pac-12 network analyst. Generous with his time. We always appreciate that. He joins us on Extra 1360. Yogi, it's Darren. Thanks so much.
Yeah, anytime, man. I'm fired up to be up here in Stanford. We got the big game. Cal and Stanford, let's get after it. 124th game, man. I'm excited.
Can you describe that as somebody who's not only doing the research, but as somebody who's as involved with this network and this conference as anybody? What that game means for those that might not appreciate just the numerical, just not 124, but just Cal Stanford, the big game.
Yeah, well, I mean, just Google like the band is on the field, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And one of the most epic finishes in the history of college football, right? It was Stanford at Cal. And, you know, what's fun about it in any rivalry, whether you're playing high school football in San Diego or in, you know, any part of this country, or you're playing in an epic rivalry in college football, it's all that matters. And, you know, we're kind of joking with the staff today. I just got done meeting with Stanford coaches and players of cliches are cliches for a reason, because sometimes they're accurate, right? And throwing out the records is one that is in rivalry games. And here you got two schools that are eclectic in their own right, but super competitive. So there's so much fun going on both campuses, whether it's pep rallies and bonfires and all those things that kind of go into a rivalry game. And then for me, this is my third one I'm calling. So I'm so excited to be a part of this one. And I really honor the small role that Ted Robinson, my partner, and I have in getting to bring this one to all the fans and alums. And, you know, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or texting with Jared Goff yesterday, like Andrew Luck, like guys are going to be dialed into this one that have been a part of it. So, you know, you want to bring it for them as a broadcaster. And the players do too. You know, I just got done meeting with them. And they're amped, man. Like, you know, it's going to be sold out. It's going to be packed house. All the things that you love about the game. And remember, last year in this rivalry game, every game didn't have fans. So these guys know how lucky they are and how fortunate they are to be back in this type of environment.
Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network joining us on Extra 1360. You've also been on the sideline for USC and UCLA. From your perspective as somebody who was employed by the University of Southern California, how do you describe that one?
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Now, I mean, I think they all have their own flavor, right? It's like going to a coffee shop and you ask for a latte and you want a different sweetener. That's what all these rivalries are. Like, there's something sweet about each one of them. And I remember being at SC, and I grew up on the East Coast, as you know. So I always thought SC Notre Dame was like the game. And I remember talking to Coach Carroll about it, and he did too. And then after his first year coaching at SC, he made such a big deal out of the Notre Dame game, and it didn't go great. And he was like, man, I realized that my players, it's not as big of a deal as it is to the alumni, as it is to the community, as it is to, you know, people that, you know, love college football, SC Notre Dame. The players care about is the SC game because they grew up with one another, right? They're playing 7-on-7. They're playing on the same high school football team. It's a totally different deal than anybody could have really anticipated when you walk into that thing. And that's the truth. These schools, you know, they despise each other, number one. Obviously only, I think it's 11 miles apart when you look at it in LA. And it's incredibly competitive when you look at a lot of these games, and they impact. They impact coaches' futures. They impact the legacy of players, the legacy of coaches. Yeah, legacy of teams. I remember we were going to the national championship game, and we lose to Carl Durrell's team in 2007. And I remember being on the headsets, everybody saying, what is happening right now? We're just waiting to kind of put the gas on, throw a bad pick late, we lose the game. And you're like, everything changed. I think we still finished fourth in the country, but could have made a lot more noise than we did. So there's a lot on the line. And I can't wait. Pregame is going to be a challenge everywhere, chippiness and penalties and all of those things. And I think usually what happens is the most disciplined team wins, because these games do come down to a couple plays. And I hope that whether it's SC, UCLA, or Stanford, Cal, or whatever the game is, it doesn't come down to a 15-yard, bad unsportsmanlike or something like that in these games this weekend.
No doubt. Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network, joining us on Extra 1360. The one that's probably most impactful in terms of national standings, Yogi, you know which one it is. Oregon is on the road. They're underdogs at Utah. What a job from Kyle Whittingham this season. San Diego State, we all saw them a couple of, many weeks ago. Totally different looking team now, having won, I think, 6 out of 7 from where they were starting the season. Lost a quarterback in the process as well. This is one of those tricky ones for people in the conference, right? You might not get wrapped up into this, but you really like having two teams ranked in the college football playoff, but you also like having one of those teams ranked in the top four. Tricky spot here for the conference with Oregon on the road at Utah.
Yeah, well, look, I think the conference's stance is you want competitive games, man, and you want games that matter, and that's exactly what we have in this one. I think, it doesn't take a brain scientist to recognize that, or a brain surgeon to recognize that, the Pac-12 is trying to get to the playoff, mm-hmm. and Oregon is the best chance right now for that with where they're ranked. And, I'm on the team that presents to the committee every couple of weeks, and we just got done presenting to them yesterday morning, and we presented as a collective Oregon, Utah, and Arizona State, right, for the top 25, and Oregon, of course, for the top four. And I love this game, man. To me, this is we've got two heavyweight bouts tomorrow night with big stakes in the Pac-12. The one is the game that you're talking about, of course. Mm. And when I look at Utah, they've got Devin Lloyd, argue he's one of the best defenders in the country. Kayvon Thibodeau, Noah Sewell, two of the best defenders in the country. You got two quarterbacks that are coming on, right? Cam Rising, you guys saw him down in San Diego in the game that you referenced earlier, in Carson earlier this season. And then you look at what Anthony Brown has done. In every critical moment this season, he's met that exact moment and elevated his game. So I think we have a great game. I don't think this is one of those games where you say, well, there's a weakness here, there's a weakness there. When I look at these teams, especially as Oregon has gotten healthier and healthier as the season has gone on, bringing back multiple offensive linemen, bringing back some key players defensively that I referenced earlier, this is going to be awesome, man. At Rice-Eccles Stadium, I think Utah is a sexy pick here. To me, I think it's going to be a great game. I was just sitting down, as I referenced earlier, with Coach Shaw, and I asked him, hey, just like we asked Justin Wilcox, just like I've asked a lot of coaches, hey, what do you think of this game? And every coach I've talked to said, man, this is going to be a battle. Whoever gets it last is going to be how this thing shakes out. And I think both teams know what's at stake as well. And they're two great stories, right? Oregon is, putting together a really impressive run. And if they could win out, I think they'd have a more impressive finish than any team, having to possibly beat the same team twice in Utah. So I'm excited for it, man. I think it's easy to pick Utah in this one, but as I've broken it down, I think the Ducks win late. I think they've just been in this environment, more times than Utah has been in terms of a huge game and big stakes, and I think they play with the composure necessary to get a win.
And like you said, so impactful too, because if that turns out to be the situation, Oregon over Utah, there's Arizona State waiting to jump and go into have the inside track to go to the Pac-12 championship game too, with Arizona, a rivalry game coming up next week. Yogi, last thing, how is that going? I mean, how do you feel like the process is going when you present to the college football playoff? I realize it could be a very lengthy answer, but how do you feel like that conversation goes when you take part in it?
Well, I'll say this, a quick note of to the point of ASU, it's the same thing for Oregon State,
right?
Who plays Arizona State. If Oregon loses, Oregon State now is in control of the Pac-12 North. If they win out, because they have Oregon next week, they're in the title game. So a lot going tomorrow. I think when it comes to the playoff committee and our conversation, I'm not a fan of any dialogue being leaked. I don't like when that happens. But if there was a time that I had to advocate for dialogue being recorded and leaked, it'd be this, because it's awesome.
Like, we sit in there, and what I love about it, and I don't know how much your listeners know about the details of the playoff committee, but there's two people among the committee members responsible for every conference, respectively. So we present written data during the week, kind of written reports going into a game and coming out of a game of, hey, what to look forward to, who's injured, what are the numbers, kind of just give them some supporting elements to what their eyes tell them. And then when we get on the phone with them, Commissioner Kliavkov, he obviously starts it off. Merton Hanks follows it up. And then they team me up to kind of dive into the minutia of ball. And I love it, man. And I mean, it's a 30-minute window where not a second is wasted, and you go hard for your teams. And you don't have to cheerlead for them. You just have to point out things that, you know, it's my job to know, not necessarily, you know, the committee. Are they going to know every element? Are they going to know every team three deep? And what happens when Ryan Walk goes down an offensive lineman, or Alex Forsyth comes back for the Oregon Ducks, for instance, or Nick Ford moving all across the O-line for Utah? It's hard for them to know those things, or the context of Arizona State season beginning of the year with so many penalties and having nine starters out last week and their comeback and get against Washington. That's our job. And I take it as seriously as I do calling the big game tomorrow up here on Stanford's campus, because we have to rep the league. So I feel like it's going great. I think the feedback from the committee members has been extremely positive. We're giving them all the tools necessary to present. And what we've seen from the committee this year is seven new members on the committee this year compared to last year. And clearly they're leaning on head-to-head, where games are being played, when you comp Ohio State, Oregon versus Michigan and Michigan State, and where those respective games are played, and statistical analysis. When you look at the Ducks, it's not like they're a team that has one loss but doesn't have the numbers to back it up, right? They're eliminating teams in the fourth quarter. They are running the daylights out of the ball, 300-plus yards in the last two games. They're eliminating the run game by their opponents. They are, I think, seven turnovers in the fourth quarter this year, which is best in the country. I think tied for best in the country. But they're doing a lot of the little things that when you match them up and say, all right, how would they do against Alabama, against Georgia, against whomever might be in the 4, 5, 6 slot? You say, yeah, actually really well. And that's the job of us, is to make sure that they have those tools at their disposal. And I'm really proud of it, man. And it's a great honor for me in my career to be able to sit in that table and say, you know what, if somebody's going to rep the league on its biggest stage, I want to be on that team. And I've said that from day one. It's not about who I can be. It's about what can I do. And I think do versus be is a foundational principle in leadership and team building, and in campaigning, you know, for your schools and the teams that, you know, I get paid to represent and know a lot about.
I love that. I can't think of anybody better to do that and represent the conference as well. So I'm glad that it's you that's in that position. Yogi, up against it. Have an outstanding weekend. Have a great broadcast. We know that you will. We always thank you. We look forward to the next time we get a chance to do this.
Yeah, I love coming on your show, man. I appreciate the time. And congrats to San Diego State. It's been awesome watching them and Brady and everything they've been doing as well.
Appreciate that. Thanks, Yogi. Have a great one. Yogi Roth, everybody, the Pac-12 Network. We'll take our final time out. We'll be back. Wrapping it up with the Fusion. That's next on Extra 13.
National Taste Test by an independent research company.
Warning. Roger, ignition engaged. The countdown is on. 3, 2, 1. Come on! It's time for the Fusion.
All righty, John and Jim coming up at the top of the hour. They're not wearing their matching San Diego State outfits, but they are wearing San Diego State outfits today.
Yeah.
Jim is just trying to fit in.
I thought Jim would be wearing some San Diego State stuff after last night.
Well, you instructed him to, so what did you expect?
Exactly.
You made the poor guy put on the one piece of SDSU apparel that he has.
He's texting me. It was like 14-13 Arizona State. He's like, this could be a long night. I'm like, okay. There's 13-21 to play in the first half. Do you get the text? Jim is always texting when like something he perceives to be on the ropes, but it's not even on the ropes. It'll be San Diego State football. The first play of the game against UNLV, like UNLV will have a 22-yard run. He'll be like, right, here we go. This could be a long night. I'm like, it's the first play of
it's
the
not
game.
Their night. Can't recover.
I mean, there was a point where you
Jim
had...
Jim is a chicken little.
I definitely am, 100%.
He is.
But you had to have thought to yourself last night, and me and Darren were texting, do these teams score 50 points?
Right. First of 50 wins was one of our texts.
When Arizona State went up 9, at one point. It was 39-30. I'm thinking, like, this thing, how are you overcoming a 9-point deficit when you can't score? Neither team was able to score, but.
And then a 12-0 run, and then a 7-0 run. Yep. So it was a night of runs, for sure.
It was
exciting. I know we can get wrapped up into the style and the quality and the shooting percentages, but in terms of was this an exciting night of basketball, I think that the answer is yes. You know, I mean, who are you? Are you James Naismith out there, or you need to have the purity of the game that is delivered at the highest possible level? Because then college basketball is probably not your sport.
And truth is, when Naismith was playing basketball or inventing it, they were shooting like 2%.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was a good shooter.
Shooting. It's like all weave.
They didn't know how to dribble the ball through their legs.
They did not. I mean, but, you know, we get spoiled because we watched Jim earlier in the night and watched Steph Curry, and then he tunes in to San Diego State and Arizona State. He's like, what is this? It doesn't look like the same sport.
No.
And you know, granted, it's 5-on-5, and the court is the same dimension, right? But it doesn't. So you have to appreciate what the sport is.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's pride of alma mater, and, you know, this could be the beginning. And, you know, it's very early on in the season. Plus, you get Ted, who's yelling at opposing coaches again. So it's amazing.
And Dutch said post-game, he was just like, it was a good college basketball game. It wasn't a perfect game. It wasn't the greatest game ever played, but it was a good college basketball game. And Dutch also joked post-game, he's like, how many threes do we make? And he looked at the score sheet and he saw, we made 6 threes? He's like, that's unbelievable. You know, 6 threes, like we'd only hit like 2 in our first 2 games. So he was, you know, he understands this has not been his best shooting team. This probably won't be his best shooting team, but you've been around longer than I have in San Diego watching good Aztec teams, and they've won a lot of games even when they haven't been maybe one of the elite shooting teams in the country, right?
Well, that's another thing that Jim and I were texting about last night. We were wondering, what is with these teams that they play outstanding defense? Are they allergic to offense? Like, why would the football team and the basketball team be structured so similarly?
You just hate offense, man.
Well, that's what Jim was asking.
And what is interesting,
and I said, I think it's an allergy situation.
And it's interesting, too, because you think Southern California, and you kind of think, like, offensive style, right? Like, you think athleticism.
Right.
You think, like, you could have, you know, big play receivers and quarterbacks and aerial acts in basketball. But, I mean, they have both programs have, like, a DNA.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they've
done
it.
That's their identity.
Yeah,
that's what they do. Oftentimes, you got to grind it out.
And they grind it out.
I'm telling you, this one tonight's going to be a grind.
It will.
Are you nervous? How nervous are you? 1 to 10.
You know, it's so funny because yesterday during the game, someone asked me during the game, like, how nervous are you? And I was nervous last night during the game because I thought it was a 50-50 game. I think tonight is, I think it's a one-score game tonight, you know? So I'm nervous because I think San Diego State finds themselves in a lot of one-score games and they're really good in it. But I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the game it was, you know, a 4-point lead or a 6-point lead and they were trying to protect it. So you're saying
take the 11?
I don't usually shave on television
or something.
I had to shave.
Why?
I had to tape something, a video.
Yeah.
So I felt like I should shave.
Soft.
So yeah. What's that?
Soft.
Yeah, my skin is.
Is it a requirement of your?
No, I just look kind of sloppy when I don't shave. I feel like, because I never have, like, it never looks like an actual, like.
But you
beard.
Wear a hat.
I put the hat on after. So I taped something and then I put
it. So you
hat
went
on.
Through the effort of doing your hair.
Correct. But my hair's really long. I need to cut it, man. This is never like this. You're getting haircuts?
Me too. We all need haircuts.
I know. This is a big day. I'm going to be here for the next 30 hours.
I know. He's doing a 24-hour marathon.
Jeez. Yeah. And then tomorrow night, Aztecs basketball. It never ends. Happy Thanksgiving. It's going to be a busy week.
You're on until Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You got some TV time last night.
Did I? Yeah. Oh, because of just where I'm located?
Where you are, yeah. The TV guys, they didn't go as far as Ted, but they also had some commentary about the visiting coaching staff being in their view.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Was that Rich Waltz?
Yeah.
Was that Dan Dickow?
It was Dan Dickow.
It was Dan Dickow.
What did you think of the call in general on TV? I like Rich Waltz. I don't know. I haven't.
Isn't he doing the football game tonight?
He is. He is on his way for Vegas.
How about that? Last night, now, has this guy been on the radio? This guy last night did basketball at VA House, and tonight he's doing the football game in Vegas. Anybody put him on the radio?
That would be a good idea.
How come nobody thought about this? How hard can it be to get Rich Waltz on? What do you say?
Why are you yelling at Marty?
Hi, Bobby Hurley. Sit down.